Hey, guys, you got games about to kick off. You better get in right now. MyBookie.ag got you covered for basically a full slate of Thursday games for college football. Hey, and if you want to get in on NFL preseason games, you can do that. Doesn't matter what you want to bet. They got you covered on MyBookie.ag. More odds, more prop bets than any other sports book. Nobody pays out faster. You're going to get your cash when you want it. That's the thing. With MyBookie, you win, you're actually going to get paid. And if you sign up now, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money just to bet on your favorite teams, just to bet on your favorite games. It's all there. Want more? How about this? How about $100,000? You want to play for $100,000? Get in MyBookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest and win. That simple. 100 grand, all yours. Don't play on some no-name sportsbook. Bet with the best, MyBookie.ag. Just use promo code RADIO to get your exclusive double your money offer today. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. Play, win, get paid at MyBookie.ag.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN. Your number is 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will respond. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch. And
I think my tweet has brought out some Astro fans who have no idea who I am or that we have a radio show.
Yeah.
So, they're like, who was talking about this? I said, it was a topic, and or we were discussing best baseball players under 25, and he's like, who was we? I said, it was a topic on the radio show, and then someone else was like, what radio show is this? I'd be interested in listening to that. Listen, Astro's Twitter is going to, if you listen to this show, you're going to be wildly disappointed when you find out that we don't always talk about baseball, but.
Yeah, that we did two segments today, and that's two more than we'll probably do for the next 2 weeks, so. We will do a lot of betting segments, though, and every Thursday we're going to do one with Brad Powers. Do we have Brad?
Yes.
My man. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, pregame.com, where he's got all the picks. He is a genius. He's one of our favorite guys. Brad, this has got to be like Christmas Day, right? I mean, now we got a full slate.
Absolutely, and good afternoon, gentlemen, or actually good evening where you guys are at, but exciting times. We got a couple of good ones tonight to kick off at least week one of the college football season.
Yeah, the first one's already kicked off here, I see, with UCLA and Cincinnati. How many of these games do you look at for, hey, I just kind of want to see what these teams are. I want to see how close my power rankings are. And how many are you actually looking to play?
Actually, that is an excellent question. Because I played a lot of these like 2-3 months ago. That's when a lot of these lines came out, actually in early June. So I would say I made far more bets in June on these week one games, just, you know, playing off of my power rating discrepancies that I had with the lines at that time, than actual bets that I made this week, even though it's game week. Obviously, we're going to learn a lot. I think coaches even are going to learn a lot from their 18, 19-year-old kids in a lot of cases making their first significant action of their careers. I would say I in-game live bet maybe even a little bit more because, you know, maybe or hedge off of an opinion I had. Maybe I was very higher in the marketplace on one team and I could see, you know, half a quarter of football and be like, maybe I was a little bit wrong on that team. So when I find myself more than most weeks, I get involved during the game, the live in-game wagering.
Brad Powers is our guest. So a couple of games I wanted to ask you about tonight. We've talked about a little bit earlier in the show. You've got some big spreads with A&M and Clemson, and those two teams play each other. How much look-ahead concern is there? Is there something in either of those teams that interests you, or either of those games, excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the A&M game there locally with you guys. I do lean Texas State plus the points. I actually like and bet the over in the game, and here's the reason. Number one, Texas State, I like the new coach, Jake Spavital, and he's a guy that's got a new offensive coordinator in Bob Stitt, who has, you know, been one of the forefronts of, you know, different offensive philosophies, new ones in the last couple of decades. So I think Texas State moving more up-tempo, that's a positive for the over. I think personnel-wise for Texas A&M, maybe more positive to the over. They lose the Aggies, their top six tacklers on defense. I think they'll be a little bit more passing-oriented than what they were last year because they lose the all-everything running back in Travion Williams. So I think that's an advantage for the over. And there's statistics out there, guys. Yeah, I mean, you guys know this year in Houston. It's hot outside, isn't it?
It's warm.
Yes. You basically walk outside and melt. So
believe it or not, and I don't think this gets played enough in the marketplace. I mean, when you're looking at weather, people are thinking, under, if it's raining, if it's snowing, under, if it's windy out, under. One thing that gets missed in the marketplace is overs when it's hot outside. And the thinking is this, two-front. Number one is, you know, players get tired in excessive heat. So when the temperature is 85 degrees or more, you know, defensive players are more prone to be giving up big plays because they're tired. They might cramp up and whatnot. And also, I mean, you guys don't know this because you're in Houston, but I'm from Ohio, and I could tell you when you kick a football in late August, that football goes a little bit further than when you're kicking in late November, and I think there's an advantage. And maybe it's only worth a quarter of a point or half a point, but certainly I think you're more prone to be making longer field goals when it's hot outside. So add all those advantages, say, over Texas A&M, Texas State.
Okay, well, let me come at you on the Clemson-Georgia Tech game then and why I kind of like the under. I want to see if you agree with some of this. We were talking about Georgia Tech installing a new offense, and everyone always thinks of Georgia Tech as a triple option team. They are not going to be that anymore. I don't know if they have the personnel yet to run a spread, and the more I think about Clemson, I mean, would you agree A&M is Clemson's best? That's the best team on their schedule, right?
Yeah, that's the shortest line that Clemson right now is involved in any game this season right now is that A&M game, about a 17, 18-point spread.
So they really have no reason to show a whole lot. They don't want to get Trevor Lawrence hurt. I'm sure I doubt we see much of him in the second half, I would guess. So to me, that when that number's set at 60.5, it seems like, especially when Clemson's defense is going up against a really big question mark, it seems like that's a game that's going to be lower scoring than the typical Clemson game.
I don't disagree with you, but here's where I get a little worried. I start looking at what Clemson's offensive production was last year when they got things rolling with Trevor Lawrence a little bit. I see 63-3 against a decent Wake Forest team as far as above average. Ended up winning a bowl game. I see 59-10 at Florida State. I see 77-16 against Louisville. I get it. Louisville pretty much gave up, but still, that would concern me a little bit. I think you're on the right track. If you gave me a $20 bill and said, where do you need to bet here? I would lean more under because I think, you know, Clemson will hold a couple things back for A&M, but let's be honest, they could hold things back with Trevor Lawrence and T. Higgins and Ross and Justin Ross at wide receiver and Travis Etienne. They can hold some things back and be conservative, and all they got to do is throw a simple out pattern. It's a touchdown. Etienne breaks through the linebacker's touchdown, so that would be my concern.
Brad Powers is our guest. Another big one tonight with Utah and BYU, which I found the line on this one pretty interesting. Curious your thoughts on that one. And
Fred and I are kind of leaning different ways on this. Yeah. I'm leaning to BYU, and Fred leans to Utah. I wanted to get a 7, which I don't think I'm going to end up getting. But what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm with you, AJ, my man, my co-host on the College Basketball Dream Pod. So yeah, I'm with you here. And look, it's not like I'm opposed to Utah. I was pro Utah at the end of spring and the beginning of summer before everybody and their mother jumped on this Utah bandwagon. And now Utah, if you just look at the preseason poll, that being the AP poll, it's the highest preseason ranking they've ever had. So people are really placing a lot of expectations on this Utah team, and for good reasons for the most part. But how do they handle a rivalry game on the road against a BYU team that I think this is Kalani Sitake's. He's the head coach for BYU. I think this is his best team yet. 17 returning starters. Zach Wilson was a quarterback that came on at the end of last season, popping the bowl tape. He was 18 out of 18 in that bowl game. And BYU blew a 20-point lead against Utah. They've been so close of breaking this losing streak against the Utes. 7 of the 8 straight losses have been by one score or less. I'm going to take the Cougars here, plus the 6.5.
So we were talking earlier about one of the trends that we were all over last year, and we talked to you about it every week, damn near. And that's the Alabama first half plays. And to me, when you look at this Duke game, the spread is 35. The first half number is around 21. It doesn't feel like we're paying an Alabama tax like we were late last season. I mean, did Vegas just reset, or do you feel like maybe 21 is a little higher than it's supposed to be? I feel like that's about average on a 35-point spread as a 21-point first half. Am I wrong, or are we back to even on Vegas treating Alabama like every other team in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, that's typically what the, 21 is typically what it is if you're, right around a 35-point favorite. But here's, and I think some people were willing to jump in on that, but I mean, keep in mind, guys, I mean, 4 of Alabama's better players suspended the first half, including their top 2 running backs. And, I mean, it's not getting enough play, I don't think, nationally. Alabama just lost their best defensive player, Moses, their middle linebacker, Dylan Moses. And it was at the worst position possible, an Alabama linebacker core that's been a little bit depth shy the last couple of years. They already lost a couple guys, including another projected starter. Now the Crimson Tide are going to be playing not one but 2 true freshmen. Yeah, I'm not on Alabama in the first half for this one, and I'm not on Alabama for the game. I'll take Duke here plus the points.
Brad Powers is our guest, and man, this is such an interesting slate. I wanted to ask you about one game tonight, though, that I didn't play. But these are 2 teams that I kind of rode a lot last year, and I want to see where they are in Florida International and Tulane. And I actually am just going to watch this game for future betting purposes. But do you have any side on that at all?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Fred. I think it's one of the better week one games. I mean, if you're a true college football fan or you want to get a good sense of where these teams are going to be at, I'm a fan of both coaches. Butch Davis has done an incredible job at FIU. Willie Fritz is doing a good job at Tulane. Both teams won bowl games, rare bowl wins for those 2 programs. I mean, both are relatively experienced. Both quarterbacks are back. I look for Justin McMillan to be a little bit better than what he was a year ago. He wasn't very consistent. James Morgan had a fine season for FIU a year ago. And FIU, you're right, Fred, was money, 10-3 against the number a year ago. Too close to call. You know, some early money came in on FIU, some take back on Tulane. If anything, I would have a slight lean on FIU plus 3, but it's more of a popcorn game for me. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. It'll be one of the better games, if not the best game of the night outside of the Holy War.
So I'm curious. One of the guys one of the teams that I like a lot going into this season is Memphis. One of the teams I'm fading a lot is Ole Miss. I think they're going to be just a disaster. And I know a lot of people are talking about the running backs that Memphis lost, and I do think that's a big deal. But I really like Brady White. And I really, I mean, this was a guy who, when he went to Arizona State, was one of the best quarterback recruits that Arizona State had ever had in their history. He ends up at Memphis. I think Memphis is set up to have a really good season in conference, out of conference. I think they may be the representative for the group of 5. Why is this number as short as it is, and why are we seeing actual money coming in on what I've seen is money come in on Ole Miss?
Yeah, I think some of it, I mean, people just aren't used to seeing an SEC team catching points against a group of 5 team. I think it's deserved. The line's about right as far as I'm concerned. I'm a big proponent of Memphis. Memphis was much better than their 8-6 record indicated last year. The Tigers blew 4 games with a double-digit lead. That was a team parading around, the 8-6 is what they finished, but they were, in reality, statistically, they were more like a double-digit win type of year. Lot of unknowns. This game is specifically on the Ole Miss side, where we'll see if these 2 high-profile coordinator hires work. I have some doubts, that being Rich Rodriguez, at offensive coordinator for Ole Miss, defensive coordinator Mike McIntyre, the former Colorado coach. Will they have good synergy in game 1? I'm not so sure. But I will say this. Maybe some of the mispricing is, I think, geographically, Ole Miss is a little only like an hour away from Memphis. So, I mean, if you turn on the on ABC at 11 a.m. kickoff for you guys, you're going to see a lot of Ole Miss fans in the crowd. Maybe you shouldn't be giving Memphis full home field advantage here.
Brad, we're looking at your power rankings. We were talking about these earlier in the show with, you know, kind of a general look ahead for Texas A&M and what their season might be like, and the fact that they might be a better team than they were last year, but all the teams that are on their schedule that you have highly rated, Alabama 1, Georgia 3, LSU 4, Auburn 8, I mean, is the SEC really going to be that strong? And if it is, I mean, I don't know what A&M's record is going to be, but it's not, you know, they're not going to be that great. And I think they're a pretty good football team.
So that's a great question. So in my preseason power rankings, I think I got A&M 11th in my preseason power rankings. So you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a good season for Jimbo and the boys. Even when you plug that power rating, and keep in mind, my power ratings are all about who would be favored over who on a neutral field. You plug that into A&M schedule, that decent power rating, like they're nearly a top 10 team. I only come up with about 7 wins, like 7.2 for A&M. I got to tell you guys, I don't think the locals are going to be happy if A&M goes 7-5 this year. And you're right, they could actually end up being a better team, but go from like 9-4 to 8-5, 7-6-ish. The schedule is just brutal. I think it's up there with South Carolina as the two toughest schedules in college football this year. And the reason being is both teams play Alabama and Clemson. And both teams also play Georgia. And that's the top 3 teams that pretty much everybody has, whether it be a power rating or a preseason AP poll, and not a friendly schedule for the Aggies.
Another game of local interest and maybe one of the bigger national games this week is going to be UH and Oklahoma. And it's a game where I think Oklahoma is going to be better than they have been defensively, but, man, you see a number thrown up like 80. It really makes you nervous, but obviously you've got one of the best quarterbacks, I think, in De'Ara King down here in Houston, and you've got one of the best offensive minds running the show up there in Oklahoma. It seems like it's not out of the realm of possibility that it gets to that number. But what do you think of that? And what do you think of that 23.5 points that it's looking at?
So you bring up a lot of good points. I do think Oklahoma's going to have an improved defense. I like the Alex Grinch hire at defensive corner. They got some players there. I get it. Didn't look like it when you're watching Oklahoma football, but Kenneth Murray, I think, is a very solid linebacker, one of the better ones in the Big 12. Gallimore up front on the defensive tackle side, I think he's pretty good. So they'll be better, but that's not saying much. I'll be honest, and this isn't going to be happy, you know, make the listeners happy. I'm not a Dana Holgorsen fan. I mean, I guess it's a big name. You're paying him a lot of money. But if you just blindly faded Dana Holgorsen the last 7 years after that first year at West Virginia where he had that notable win in the Orange Bowl, that blowout win over Clemson, since then he's like 39% against the spread. So I'm not, you know, as excited as Houston is and those people down there about that hire. I love De'Ara King. You're right. He's one of the better, forget group of five, he's one of the better quarterbacks, period, in the country. Line seems, I mean, there's been some money coming in on Houston left and right, and me and Fred got a bet, I think, what, 21, Fred?
Do you 21, 21 and a half for dinner. Yeah.
All right, 21 and a half.
Yeah, oh, you got which I still half. Feel I'm good still about too- that. I still feel good about that, by the way.
Some closing line value here, Brad.
Yeah, I like. I'm on the other side of that for a couple of reasons. I think defensively, UH is one of the worst defenses in the country last year, and I think they made a real good hire over there, brought in some JUCO guys, and
but they didn't hire Ed Oliver.
Well, but you know what? Ed Oliver hardly played last year, so I mean, it's real easy to sit here and say, oh, well, they lost Ed Oliver. Well, go look at what he actually did last year, which was not much. So. And they were horrible with him, so I don't think I think they'll be better. I think Oklahoma wins the football game, but I also think UH scores enough to stay within that number. And I do think Holgorsen will upgrade this offense over what it was last year, which was good with Kendall Briles, but also inconsistent. Yeah. Oh yeah. I think he's a better play caller than Kendall Briles.
Hey,
and less rapey.
Hey, speaking of horrible defenses. One of the teams I think is going to have maybe the worst defense in college football this year, I think, is going to be in Bowling Green. And I know they're playing Morgan State.
Ooh.
But I see a number of 49.5 for a total. And, I don't feel good laying 24 points.
Where do you see that at?
That's what it's showing here on Vegas Insider right now at a few places.
Over. Over. That's to sell your house, sell your wife, sell your kids bet. Over.
That's what I'm saying. And I said the UConn game, who I think UConn is probably the team in discussion with them for the worst defense, their total 70.5. I mean, it's 49.5, 50 on basically every site right now. I haven't pushed a button yet. I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy, but I don't know much about Morgan State. What am I missing there? Is there anything that could be?
Yeah, I don't
that
either.
Off?
But I know a lot about Bowling Green's new defensive coordinator. His name's Brian Van Gorder. He's been fired from his last couple of jobs at Notre Dame, and then last year he was part of that Louisville defense that was among the worst. Yeah, over. In fact, I know you guys got a hard out. I'm going to, go ahead and make that hard out and go and bet this over.
I'm doing it right now as we speak.
All right, Brad. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Looking forward to the season, and let's all kick some ass and win some money.
All right, right back at you. Pleasure, guys.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Aggie football up next, so enjoy it, whatever side you're on. Want to thank Aaron. Great job. AJ, great job. It was solid today. Solid C-. We'll do it again tomorrow. Only one day left in the week. Enjoy the games tonight, gang. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.